Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now, as he does every Friday at 8 a.m. to get into the matchup of the weekend, is Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette. He's on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Good morning to you, Chris. Thanks for jumping on. How you doing, buddy?
Morning, fellas. How we doing?
We're doing good. We got Harry from Dumb and Dumber. We got me dressed as Rich Rodriguez, but nobody knows because this is how I dress typically every Friday. And we've got Harry Callis dressed up as a radio host, not a producer. Are you going for anything at Halloween?
Right now I'm not dressed as anything, but I'm going to a friend's Halloween party. I will be dressed as basically the person that everyone says I look like all the time anyways, and that will be Jerome Bettis.
Ooh, very nice.
You get Jerome Bettis?
I can see that.
How do you guys not know that this is like the joke around everyone? It's just like everyone's like, oh my God, you look like a young Jerome Bettis. It is like it is the thing that I have gotten for the last like 10 years of my life.
Can I ask you a question?
So, that's what we're doing here, Adam. That's the point of the segment.
Yeah, but I'm prefacing this one because it might be an uncomfortable question. Do you think it's the... You think people are doing a thing there? Because I don't think you look like Jerome Bettis.
It's light-skinned dudes with beards.
There you go. You know,
there was one time.
There you go.
Yeah, it's... And, like, some of it's reasonable. Like, I actually kind of see Jerome Bettis. There's weird ones that I don't see. Like, you know, when I was skinnier, I used to get Drake all the time. And I kids used to be like, is that kid? I literally had a person in Vegas one time, like, grab my shoulders and be like, Drizzy, it's you. Oh, my God. And I'm like, what? He's like, oh, my bad, man.
But me know, too,
I
Chris.
Like when I got my fade
sucks
right,
when it
that
happens.
Was cool. But then when I got older and I started to put on weight, one time I was running around at the Whippeal Championships and I heard these high school kids go from the stands like, yo, he looks like that one rapper. And I turned, I'm like, they're about to call me Drake. And they said, he looks like DJ Khaled. And I said, who said that? Who said that? Don't you dare say that. Yeah. So light-skinned dudes with beards.
Well, I will get off this in a second here. But the funniest and the potentially the most offensive one of all time, not that he's not a good-looking man, is when we were at lunch prior to a Steelers game, you, me, sitting there with Mark Caboli,
yeah.
And Caboli said, yeah, you look like PK Subban. Like, come on, Mark, what are we doing there, bud?
What?
I wasn't going to say his name, but yeah, Caboli did do that. And he did that in Chicago one time. We were like, you know, walking out of a restaurant, the night before we were covered Steelers Bears. And there was this middle-aged white couple that turned and looked at him and said, sir, you have to apologize. No, he does not look like PK Subban.
Yeah.
And to this day, he's like, I kind of see it.
No, not even a little bit.
Nope.
Chris Carter joining us here. Drake on the Fan Morning Show. Chris, the...
I appreciate Drake.
Michael Pittman, you got pierced nipples. also who's averaging 21.5 yards a catch. You've got Jonathan Taylor, who's playing at Saquon Barkley levels from last year. You got a quarterback that has taken fewer than 10 sacks, who doesn't turn the football over, an elite offensive line. If you were coordinating this Steelers defense, Chris, what's the number one priority? What do you try to take away first?
Well, it's funny. I was talking to Zach Hicks, the host of Locked On Colts for Crossover Thursday yesterday, and one thing he brought up is that there's a misnomer about how the Colts operate their offense. You look at how many yards Jonathan Taylor gets, people think that they run to set up the pass, but it's the opposite. He said they pass to set up the run. They kind of bring out Daniel Jones and let him get going through the air, and then once that happens, then Jonathan Taylor starts to run the ball, and then because you're so caught off guard by the passing game, it makes the run game more devastating, and then the offensive line demolishes you, and then Jonathan Taylor rips your head off. And so I think one of the big keys here is you cannot allow the middle of the game, middle of the field passing game to thrive with Indianapolis, which is kind of scary because the Steelers have stunk at defending the pass. They're literally last in the NFL in passing yards per game right now. So to me, I mean, you got to stop the run. You can't let Jonathan Taylor beat you, but I think that the tricky part here is you got to come out and you cannot allow those middle of the field passing concept, those levels where they try to manipulate the linebackers into making mistakes. They got to be sound there. And I think it's going to be winning a lot of inside leverage, making sure that you're taking away the quick reads, forcing him to hold on to the ball. And then can your pass rush get home? Because I know a lot of people are saying, where's TJ Watt? Where's Cam Hayward? But when quarterbacks are throwing the ball in less than 3 seconds on average the last few weeks, you're not going to get home. And so that's what the Steelers have to do in this game. I kind of like their run defense right now. I think they've defended the run better in the past few weeks. The problem is you can't allow teams to get quarterbacks to get on their first read. You do that against the Colts, they're going to rip your head off and score 50 points, not just 30. So that's got to be a key there. But I also think that one of the other ways to beat this team is sometimes your best defense is your offense. And right now the Steelers' offense is the better unit. And if the Steelers offense could come out here, I think that jumbo package could be very lethal because the Colts, they don't go much base. They basically live in nickel. You could come out and you can run these guys over, but you got to do it efficiently and you got to control the clock.
Chris, did you say you think the Steelers offense is the better unit right now? Or did I mishear
the defense?
That?
I mean, No. I think the Steelers offense is better than the Steelers defense right now.
Oh, okay. Talent-wise, okay.
Yeah. I'm not saying the Steelers' offense is better than the Colts' offense.
Yeah, okay. I was going to ask you what Steelers made you offense, say that, but I got you now. The better of the two Steelers.
And listen, the Steelers' defense, there are some very course-correcting things they could do to be be a better unit and live up to the hype that they've been built up to. But it's just showing that, like, hey, why haven't they course-corrected? I think that's something that's continuing to happen. And the more that it happens, the more you start to look at Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin like, hey, what are y'all doing? Because there is talent here to make it happen. So I do think that that's part of it. But, again, right now I think the offense is the more cohesive unit.
So you wrote about over at the old postgazette.com, Chris, about Kyle Duggar and the role that he's going to play and the type of player he is. What did you learn in reporting that, and what can fans expect on Sunday out of him?
Well, I think the Steelers want him to basically be their Deshaun Elliott. Kyle Duggar is not a supreme coverage man, but he's a really good run and tackle guy. And so he's a good athlete. And like when you look at his combine numbers from like 6 years ago, he came into the league a pretty good, like he was like, people forget he's a Division II guy in college. You know, Deshaun Elliott played at Texas and he was a sixth round pick. This guy played at a D2 school. And in doing so, he had a great combine. And when people saw the combine and his size, they were like, we got to look at this guy. And so that's why the Patriots brought him in. And that's why, he was pretty solid there. But what he's going to be able to do is he can be a bigger guy that can run, tackle, help against the run, help against, underneath passes and do that. But the problem is you got to get him up to speed. And I really think that that's going to be the biggest challenge here is how quickly can he learn the different roles of the defense? Because this defense is complex. It's not a simple defense, and I think that's been part of the problem here is that they want to disguise a lot. And I even asked Terrell Austin this last week before the Packers game. I was like, at what point do you sacrifice complexity for just playing well? Because when you're blowing coverages, and it's part of it. Part of it's because guys are trying to disguise things, and they're failing to disguise something, or they're too much in the disguise to actually play their real assignment. At what point do you say, forget that? We just need to cover right now. We just need to. I don't care if they know we're in man. I don't care if they know we're in cover two. We just got to do this well enough to limit, hold, make them hold on to the ball so our pass rush can get home. And basically, Terrell Austin was like, the day that we stop disguising is the day that we should not try to play defense. And so I hear that, and I think that's a smart way to say, hey, we're not going to give up on doing that. We got to keep working at it. But at some point, you have to be good at doing that part of the game, and that's where I'm not sure if Kyle Duggar's going to pick up his speed enough. But I do think they need him because, frankly, Chuck Clark, I think he at least tries. Like he brings effort, but he's just, you saw against Tucker Kraft in that slant touchdown. He can't cover. He is at his best when he's a downhill box safety, and when he's not in that role, he is a liability for the Steelers. They need help at safety right now.
No doubt about that. Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette and the Locked On Steelers podcast, joining us here in the Fan Morning Show. You mentioned course corrections. I mean, that would be one right there. What else would you propose for Terrell Austin and Mike Tomlin as course corrections that you think could help this defense?
I think that their outside cornerbacks need to be Joey Porter Jr. and Brandon Echols. I think Darius Slay, he's made some plays this season. But like that play on the wide receiver screen,
oh my God!
Like he just let the guy walk into the end zone. It was inexcusable to me, and like it's a shame because when I looked at the all 22, you see, you think that like when you watch the touchdown, like man, no one did anything there. But really, the whole defense did what they were supposed to do, except Slay. Juan Thornhill jumped into an interior gap that forced Savion Williams to the sideline, and then Patrick Queen takes up two blockers. Like he's basically holding them up so that Slay can be free and make this play, and he doesn't even like come over to help. And I'm just like, what is that? And so when you see that, and you just also know that Darius Slay's not covering guys well right now. He doesn't have the speed that he used to have. It kind of makes you say, what are you doing here? And so I think Echols and Porter. I also think this team should go get a cornerback. I thought Roger McCreary would have been a good option, but the Rams traded for him last week, so he's off the table. I think Reek Woolen could be an option if the Seahawks are willing to part with him. He's on the last year of his deal right now. But you know, if Corey Trice could be healthy, but he apparently has another injury already. So I don't know how serious that will
be.
But I think, you know, you need outside corners for this system to work, and you need guys who are at least going to take away the first 3 to 4 seconds of a route. And if you can get that, I think that changes a lot about how this defense plays.
I want to ask a question about the offense, Chris. We've been belaboring the defense. Sure. Roman Wilson had a pretty good game this past one, I think 4 for 74. Do you take that as a sign that he is sort of turning a corner? Is there more to come? Do you expect more out of him against the Colts? Where are you at with Roman Wilson?
Absolutely. In fact, I'll have a story on him later today. I was working on that until the Duggar trade, and so then we kind of course corrected. We did our thing there. But Roman Wilson, when I asked Aaron Rodgers about him, he said that last week he had an amazing week of practice. And then he said, we talked to Aaron Rodgers on Wednesday. He said Wednesday was another great practice for Roman Wilson. I think Roman Wilson's just finding his feet in the NFL. And this was kind of what Mike Tomlin, what Aaron Rodgers, what a lot of people said about it. It was like, hey, man, give this kid time to grow. He was hurt all last year. He couldn't get his feet under him. Now he's starting to, and you're seeing him find his confidence. And I do think that he's on the verge of showing people. And I think it's another reason why, like, I know a lot of people think the Steelers should just go get a wide receiver too. And I'm not saying eliminate the possibility, but I think that the Steelers are like, we got a really good guy here, and we also like Calvin Austin. So I don't know if we need to do that versus maybe we need to fill up one of the weaknesses that we thought was a strength on defense, and that's the outside cornerback position. But to answer about Roman Wilson, yeah, I mean, he's getting into his routes better. He's getting into his breaks better. And he's also finishing plays. Like that first deep ball was a scramble drill where he stuck with the play. He initially did a good job, but then he was like, oh, Aaron rolling to his right. Let me keep working with him. He did a good job. And he's also, like, Roman Wilson's not a guy that's patting himself on the back. Like, I asked him about it, and I was just like, Roman, break down how that happened, because I thought he'd be excited to talk about a really big play for him. He was like, yeah, it was a scramble drill. That was it. Like, I was like, okay, I guess. Thanks,
Roman. Thanks for the insight.
So, Yeah, but like I think that he has a level head on his shoulders. He's working really hard, and now it's producing results. And Aaron Rodgers, and something else Aaron Rodgers said that I thought was really good was he said one thing that also happens. Aaron Rodgers, he's a field general. He can see the whole field. He appreciates that on every single play, Roman is doing his job. He's running his route as hard as he can. Even when he's the fourth or fifth read on a play, if the first read's DK Metcalf and Pat Freiermuth or Darnell Washington, Rowan Wilson is still digging out his route really hard, which is not something a lot of young receivers do. It's something George Pickens didn't even do for the Steelers. So that's something that he appreciates, and he knows that, hey, if Roman's my last read, I can go to him and know that he's busting his butt.
It'll be God's plan. Thank you, Drake. Appreciate the time that you spent with us this morning.
I got my butt kicked by Kendrick Lamar last year.
Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette, and the Locked On Steelers podcast, one of our favorite segments of the week. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, fellas.
We'll talk to you next Friday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Donnie Football sees a blowout here and sees the Colts doing a lot of damage offensively, and that certainly makes sense, and I don't disagree with the second part of that. I think there's a 60% chance that'll happen. And I'm going to predict the Colts to win this game. However, I see a path toward a Steeler victory. And it's through their offense going against this defense, which is not a great defense. There's really no star. You know, Buckner inside's a good player. There's really no star. They've been shredded at times. And another important thing to note about the Colts, they're 7-1. They're really 6-2. That's how I view the Colts as 6-2. They beat Denver on an unbelievably bogus call where they called a field goal blocker for jumping over the center or something like that at the end when he clearly didn't.
Oh, yeah. We're always good for one of those a year.
Just ridiculous. So their offense is unquestionably dynamic. They have, I think, the best running back in the game. Danny Dimes has been great. Tyler Warren's putting up numbers that nobody else is. He's about as sure of a thing as a draft pick as I've ever seen. And yet, who are the idiots who didn't take him? The Bears, right?
Yep, the Bears. They took Colston Loveland, who's done nothing.
I'm speechless still over that. Quentin Nelson, maybe the best guard in the game, maybe one of two or three. They're just really, really dynamic. But defensively, I got questions. Bo Nix shredded them. Matthew Stafford 375 yards and three touchdowns. They rolled up almost 400 yards. They had two receivers get over 100 yards. Nacua had 13 for 170. The Cardinals almost beat this team and got 400 yards of offense. Jacoby Brissett threw for 320 yards. Justin Herbert, a lot of this was late, but he threw for 420, and they had two receivers go over 100. So they've beaten Tennessee twice, Miami, Vegas, and the Cardinals, right? They should have lost to Denver. They were most impressive to me against the Chargers. The moral of the story is I think the Steelers' offense is pretty good. And the Colts love to live in a nickel defense. And I think if the Steelers line up and say, we're going to control the ball in this game, we're going to run with big packages, even if Seumalo is not in there against that nickel defense, we're going to bring him out of their nickel maybe eventually. But we're going to run a lot. We're going to pound it. We're going to convert on short yardage with our precision passing game with Aaron Rodgers, and we're going to keep that offense off the field. I give the Steelers a 40% chance to win this game with their offense and with that game plan, Donnie, because I don't think this Colts defense, it's certainly not great. I'm not even sure it's good.
Yeah, the offense is the only hope. That's the only thing that gives me any sort of long-term hope, at least in terms of this season. They have to go about this game like they would have against the Tom Brady Patriots or the Peyton Manning Colts.
Yeah.
Like you have to keep the other team's offense off the field or else they will come in and they will score. Like it's almost a sure thing because I do think this Colts defense against the Steelers defense, it is almost a sure thing because that is one thing over the course of the season has boded to be true. I mean, they've scored over 30 points, 6 of their 8 games. They've scored 20 plus in every single game. They've scored over 40 twice.
Yeah.
If the Steelers win this game, it has to be like a 42-35 game or like 42-40. It has to be a classic shootout where neither team punts the football. The offense is the only hope. I just feel that it's going to be a game where the Steelers get down early or they settle for 3 when they really shouldn't. And that was a point that was made last week, even though that's Mike Tomlin's decision more than anybody to settle for 3. And then they fall behind and it all kind of, you know, just becomes collateral damage.
Yeah. I feel like if they're going to win, it'll be more like something like 30-27. And that the reason, and 27 is still a fair amount of points, but the reason that you'll keep the Colts at that number is because of your offense chewing up huge chunks. Here's the thing. The Steelers had paths to victory each of the last 2 weeks, I think, if they stuck to the run. They completely gave up on it. You guys had Trey Essex on the morning show saying they were up 16-7. I think they ran the ball 3 times over the next like quarter and a half of game action. And then the Cincy game, for as great as the offense was that night, and I think you and I talked about it, or maybe me and Bob, Rodgers may have fallen in love with the idea of I can go for 405 touchdowns today. And maybe the best path toward victory, given the fact that Flacco was eating you alive, was just to run the ball, just to run it the whole game and then splice in short passes and convert. I think there's something to be had there with the Colts. I do. I think the Steelers' offense could control the game, and I like where they're headed. I think the line is improving. No complaints about Jalen Warren. Gainwell had the fumble, but even in the last game, he provided some speed to the outside and had some really important runs. And then Aaron Rodgers has been nothing but good, pretty much. So there's a path against this defense to win. However, you got to be almost perfect to do it against that offense, and I don't think they will be. I think ultimately the Steelers lose this game something like 36-27, I think I'm going to go with.
Yeah, you can't have an empty possession against the Colts. You can't have too many possessions that end in field goals because like we saw last week, that caught up to them. Now, they went into the half with a 9-point lead, and as you said, they just stopped running the football, which was working in the first half.
After LaFleur was interviewed at halftime and said, I think we know they're going to come out and run, and they didn't.
And then the Packers proceeded to score 28 points in the second half of the game.
Yeah.
Unless the Colts have, for the first time all season, an off game offensively, you pretty much have to write them in for 30-plus.
Yep.
Really, at the start of it. You have to write them in for 30-plus because they have been pretty mistake-free. Jonathan Taylor is the front runner for offensive player of the year only because we know a running back will never win the MVP again. You have to account for, okay, we have to score 31 at least. That's what Aaron Rodgers and the offense has to tell itself. We have to score at least 31 and probably more if we want any shot. So, yeah, we have been doing our jobs. We have to pump that up, do it a little bit better on Sunday or else there is zero shot that they have.
Let's hit the lines limits, shall we?
Well, let's do it. Let's start with Bill in the Hill District. Talk about the Steelers.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
All right, good, good. Hey, I would like to listen to y'all a little bit more, but it just seems like every time I'm listening to y'all, it becomes the Mike Tomlin show. Like I understand y'all don't like him, but you know there's so many other stories going on with the Steelers and everything.
I don't remember the last time I mentioned Tomlin's name in this show.
Tomlin stuff, like all the time, like just give me one little break about Mike Tomlin. Just let's talk about the game. Or better yet, how about talk about the Colts and see how bad they're going to beat us? But at least give Mike Tomlin's name a break, please.
I thought we just spent an entire segment talking about the Colts. Did we not? We spent the last 15 minutes talking about the Colts and how we thought the game would go. Literally, Tomlin's name hasn't been mentioned in this segment. Literally.
That was only 15 minutes, dog. Like y'all took the whole morning about Mike Tomlin. Come on. We want to hear some other stuff about the game, not just Mike Tomlin.
I'm pretty sure that's what this segment was, if I'm not mistaken, Donnie.
Well, Bill, if it makes you feel any better, I mean, I think Art Rooney, too, is the root of their whole problem. I won't put all of that on Mike Tomlin. I think the owner could get off his ass at some point and maybe spur some change.
Is Bill still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
Well, how about compete in a playoff game, Bill? I mean, isn't this, in the end, the crumbling of this defense about Mike Tomlin? Like, it's sort of hard to avoid him, although we did for the last 15 minutes.
No, because Mike Tomlin's not on the field playing. Oh. Mike Tomlin is not on the field playing.
But he chose the guys that are.
Exactly. So let's talk about what they're not doing.
Yeah. Let's talk about Mike Tomlin. First of all. Secondly, let's talk about Mike Tomlin, who cut his teeth in the NFL as a defensive backs coach, pouring over tape and determining that guys like Patrick Peterson and Darius Slay could still play when they can't. How about Mike Tomlin drafting Joey Porter Jr.? Does that look like a misevaluation?
I think he's all right. I think Joey Porter's going to be okay. He's still young.
Well, that makes one of you. It's his third year. I mean, there aren't too many people who agree with you on that.
It's a long way to go. The season is still long. We're only, what, 7 games into it? And it's just like doom and gloom. You go to another radio station, they got at least some type of...
Which radio station would that be?
No, I'm talking about statistics.
Oh.
I'm talking about how we... Just like you just said earlier today, how we can win the game.
I just spent a segment giving you a path that the Steelers could win this game when almost nobody thinks they will.
That's that. Because guess what? Because y'all Mike Tomlin show all day.
Thank you, Bill. I don't think I could drive home the point that we didn't mention Tomlin in this whole segment for 15 minutes.
We could have gone 4 hours, or we could have gone 3 hours and 58 minutes, but the 2 minutes that we spent on Mike Tomlin would have been all on Bill's mind.
I mean, I don't know what else to say on that one. Next.
Yeah, that was strange. Here's our guy, Emmanuel in Carnegie. I'm sure we won't get anything like that.
Hi, Emmanuel.
Hey, man, I'm not sure we were being trolled or what. That was crazy. As it pertains to this game, though, logically thinking, we don't got a chance, but we have seen football for too long. This is the typical game when everybody counts us out. Mike Tomlin's going to pull something out of the hat. We're going to win, and then people are going to feel good again, and then we're going to go back to, 9-8. I just think that we're just 12 months removed from being in the better half of the league in defense. And it's just hard for me to fathom that we're just the worst defense in the league by adding, you know, Jalen Ramsey and adding two defensive players in the draft. And I don't think the Colts are as good as their record says. I mean, I just think this is the perfect storm for an upset. And I think the Steelers are going to win, honestly. This is going to be the upset week special for the Steelers and Mike Tomlin. I hate to give him credit, but I think we're going to get the dub.
I mean, I can see where Emmanuel is coming from. But by the way, I was very happy, Joe. I don't know if you got the chance. I met Emmanuel the other night. He was at Pony's event, the piercing event at Mike's Beer Bar.
Did you and I meet Emmanuel? I don't think we did.
Yeah, I seen you one time and you were gone.
Yeah, I had to go early. I didn't want to see the nipples actually get pierced. I have a weak stomach.
It was a great event, man. Nice meeting y'all. Nice seeing Limits, you know, and everybody there. It was a great event. I'm just
I treated Limits to a steak that night, did I not, Limits?
It was incredible, Joe.
Little surf and turf, shrimp and steak.
We did have a surf and turf. Don't touch the stone, though. It's very hot.
Listen, Emmanuel, I sort of just explained, I couldn't be shocked if the Steelers win this game. It's the NFL. And the Colts almost lost to the Cardinals. They should have lost to the Broncos. They still have something to prove this season, too. As I said, they've beaten Tennessee twice, Arizona, Miami, and the Raiders. That's five of their seven wins.
And we haven't had a turnover, a takeaway, in three games. And we haven't had a sack in two games. It's just the odds eventually, you know, is going to reach to the mean where we're going to play a decent game and the Colts are going to have an off game.
I hear that. I do. But there's also the crushing reality that the Colts are a machine offensively and that the Steelers are broken defensively. I think that's been Donnie's point, and that's why I'm picking the Colts in the end. But Donnie, would you be shocked if the Steelers won?
I can't say shocked because we've seen these games in the past. I mean, we saw one a little bit over 2 weeks ago where the Steelers had the advantage in pretty much every single statistical category. It looked like it was going to be a comfortable win, even with the stats against Mike Tomlin on Thursday Night Football. Most of us thought that the Steelers would beat the Bengals. I know Austin was the lone wolf on that, and he came out victorious, and another host had to get his nipples pierced because of it. But we see games like this all the time where, you know, it just doesn't make sense. We can throw out all the stats we want. You know, everything that Bill in the Hill District wants us to do, just throw out numbers left and right. Sometimes that just doesn't matter when they start playing.
Lou Anarumo is the Colts defensive coordinator. Is that an advantage for him or the Steelers? They seem to have done pretty well against him a lot of different times, although he's had his moments, but I think that's an advantage for the Steelers too. I'm not sold on the Colts defense. That's the thing. They can be had. The numbers show it.
So, I mean, this to you, like you said, with your score, you think it's just very high scoring because there's neither defense to be sold on.
Yeah.
Anarumo, even though they just lit the guy up last December with Russell Wilson as the quarterback in Cincinnati.
He did a good job. They did a good job in the rematch. Both teams, it was more of a defensive battle.
Yeah.
I just think that Smitty and Aaron Rodgers could find a way to keep the ball for a huge portion of it. Said the Colts love to be in that nickel. And, man, if you can line up and just be physical with them offensively, that could go a long way toward winning. Then you bring them out of their preferred defense, and then you start hitting them in the pass game. The Steelers could do some big damage, I think, honestly, offensively. Not just damage on the scoreboard, but damage in terms of time of possession.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I saw a stat. I think it's like 88% of the time they play with five or more defensive backs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, so they're playing in nickel, they're playing in dime. That is a huge percentage. So I think really their only chance is to stick to it on the ground.
Me too.
And
me
too, obviously you mix in the pass. You don't just run the football every play and become uber predictable. But, I mean, you have to slip the pass game in there. Joe, I thought there were some funny comments, though, when Bill from the Hill District was on. Some of the people in the YouTube
Please.
Chat.
Yeah, let's hear him.
This guy must be... He loves Tomlin. It's probably his brother-in-law. This is the guy that cuts Mike Tomlin's grass. Is this Tomlin hiding his voice?
Did you see the clip of Tomlin, the AI-generated clip in the locker room, rallying the team around 9-8, Donnie?
Oh, yes.
What a great That's clip a very that good was. One. It was a tough game out there, but then his voice rises. But we still have a chance to go 9-8. And then they all go crazy. I think that's where this winds up. Are they still going to be a playoff team?
Not if they don't win the division, no. They're not going to get a wild card.
Yes or no? Steelers in the playoffs as we sit here on a Friday on Halloween.
No.
Donnie?
I lean no as of right now because the AFC West is going to send three. They're going to get two of the three wild cards, and then it comes down to...
Yeah, I've been a big proponent of yes, but then I watched the Ravens last night and Lamar, and now today I'm going to say no.
I mean, okay, so the AFC West is going to
think yeah.
They're going to take three, so they'll have two of the three wild cards.
Yeah.
Bills or Patriots?
Both, for sure, almost. So it's win the division or bust. And every game that that's another reason this is a giant game, and the numbers that you gave, what were they for... If you're 5-3 compared to 4-4?
Yeah, so teams that start the season 5-3, they make the playoffs 64.3% of the time. Teams that start 4-4, that drops to 31.9%.
Feels like something big at stake here. Keeping tabs on the Darius Slay story today. Personal reasons, wasn't at practice yesterday. Hopefully everything okay. Like I said, that's always my first thought. But just the way things have been trending for him and the trade deadline coming up, I couldn't help but wonder about that.
There's Steve Palazzolo, 33rd team. Steve, did you just see the pictures of my pierced nipples, or were you watching along last night?
I was unable to watch along. I saw the pictures. Sam actually sent the pictures to me.
Yeah. What was the
proud fodder? Of you, man.
What was the analysis of it? Thank you.
We broke it down on the podcast today. We gave you kudos for following through. We gave you kudos for raising money for a great cause. So you did a great job.
You want to hear something wild? People have asked me all day about the nipple piercings and the pain. I got a flu shot about 3 hours ago. That's kicking my ass more than the piercings.
The flu shot.
Yeah.
He's
flu shot's got me down
great.
In the dumps. I got 101 temperature right now.
Steve, we think that the flu shot might be actually helping... his nipple pain here, because it's one of those deals where, like, you might be hurting in one way, and then if you hurt some other body part worse, then you stop thinking about the first one.
Yeah,
I think you might need to double down. If the Steelers lose to the Bengals again, you get another flu shot, maybe.
Well, he'll just be Mr.
Here's
be
a
Mr.
new one.
Anti-flu.
Here's a new one, Steve, and I did not put up anything on this game because I've, for now, temporarily learned my lesson. I think the Steelers are going to beat the Colts on Sunday. You agree?
I said that on our show today. Isn't this the Mike Tomlin special?
Here we go.
Isn't that the Mike Tomlin special? Disappointing Thursday night. About a half a game of some, you know, excitement against the Packers. Now they're down. They're down and out. And you're going to beat the Colts. Because the Colts, you know, they're just a dome team. They can't handle the wind in Pittsburgh. They've played one outdoor game all season. It was in Tennessee.
That's what I said. They haven't played a road game yet this year. LA games are sterile. Neutral
I hate
fields.
I hate that you and I have the same analysis on this game. It wasn't really my analysis, but it feels like a Tomlin game, doesn't it? Like they're going
to
win.
No, not to Donnie and Mulsey.
At some point, Steve.
Donnie said they're going to get bludgeoned.
I understand, as I'm sure you do, like the NFL's weird, and that's why when we all look at the lines, we scratch our heads at least one of them every week, etc. And it's because odd outcomes happen every time. But this just feels like at some point the Tomlin mojo, like the voodoo that he has where he somehow will drag a team to 9-8 has to run out. And I'm just looking at the ages of some of the guys they are still counting on that defense and wondering if this isn't the time where it really starts to slide.
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality is they've underachieved on the defensive side of the ball, right? So there's a part of me that's like, hey, this is the one that Tomlin pulls out. The other part is definitely, hey, I disappointed in the defense, the middle of the defense. I saw Donnie's projection, 18 catches or whatever for Tyler Warren.
That was actually first half.
First half.
Yes.
Yeah, then they slowed out in the second. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why the Colts should not be stopped on Sunday offensively, and then, you know, Pittsburgh's going to make some big plays defensively. The Colts aren't great defensively, so they're going to have to hang in a shootout, which they were able to do against Cincinnati, which they were able to do against the Jets, but maybe they're not able to do against, you know, some better defenses. So, yeah, like I get the angst against where the Steelers are right now and, you know, where they're trending.
Tomlin's point that he made at his Tuesday press conference that I said to Chris, it looked like when he said it, there was a little bit of a twinkle in his eye, like he thought he had something on the Colts or knew something about the Colts that other people didn't. But he pointed out, look, this has been such a front-running team. They get up on teams, they score early, they force a bunch of turnovers. Basically, what happens if we get a couple stops in the first quarter and the turnover game is even? What happens then? You buy that?
That's the weird thing about Tomlin, right? Like, why does he roll into a press conference and be like, oh, I'm afraid of Joe Flacco, when no one else is afraid of Joe Flacco? And then he was right. He should have been afraid of Joe Flacco, except, you know, you should have been afraid of Joe Flacco,
yes,
pony.
I know.
But, I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm saying about Tomlin. He always has this sense and this feel. Why are the trends so consistent with him? That's what I'm trying to figure out, right? I go from this like play-by-play hardcore analysis to like Mike Tomlin's just going to be 9-8. He's going to win a game he's not supposed to. He's going to lose a game he's not supposed to. It's all going to even out at the end. Doesn't matter if it's Aaron Rodgers, Duck Hodges, or Kenny Pickett. It's all the same
Donnie,
thing.
Isn't that basically how you feel about them? That's what's going to happen? It's all going to even out at the end of the year, and they'll find their way to be 9-8 or 10-7?
Yeah, by hook or by crook, they'll get there.
See, I think eventually...
He's the Seinfeld episode. He's going to even out.
I don't know. I'm starting to think with the combination of their schedule and the age of the defense that they're reliant on here, I think their offense is better than it's been in a while, Steve, because they actually have shown the ability to score points in bunches at times, and Rodgers has been, I think, reasonably sharp. It just feels like eventually you have to concede that it's not going to keep going this way, and this definitely feels like the year that that's going to happen. I mean, they're relying on guys. They brought in secondary help, where I think you would agree with me, you've got to be able to run to play defensive back of any kind in this league, especially corner. I think the four guys or so they brought in were an average age of like 30 and a half. That's when some of these dudes at corner are either moving to safety or getting put out to pasture, and they're begging Darius Slay to play like key reps for them on the outside.
I still thought it would work, not just because of the name value. I still thought that the three corners would work and the pass rush would work. I thought they might lean into the fact that they have three legitimate edge rushers and not just rotate them, and that they'd give Herbig more time.
Do the Steelers gain an advantage by moving Watt around the way that the Green Bay Packers do with Parsons and Cleveland does with Garrett, Steve, in your opinion?
I on third down, absolutely. Look, I mean, I know Pittsburgh's been doing things the same way since the 90s, right? Essentially, here's a left outside, the Madden, left outside linebacker, right outside linebacker, and they don't change, and it went from a 3-4, and now it's a 2-4-5, you know, when they go to nickel. But yeah, like, you should be able to use those advantages, especially Herbig. Like, Herbig rushes well from Watt's side.
He doesn't play
in
now.
College. Yeah, I know. I would use all three. Of course I would use those guys. Like, part of my optimism with the Steelers was like, how do you block this front? The three edge rushers, Harmon coming in, Cam Hayward, good luck blocking all of those guys. But there's no pressure on the defense. When Parsons lines, we're all watching Sunday Night Football as a fan, right? You're watching, where's Parsons now?
Yeah, you're right.
He's over the nose tackle. He's over the guard. Yep. He's stunting now. Like, you don't know where he is, and the offense is doing that same exact thing. The Steelers don't have that. And if there's one thing that's happening with this defense, and why Tomlin was afraid of Flacco, this familiarity, right? Like, it feels like every offense is coming out of there and they're like, we got this figured out. We know what's coming at us. The middle of the field's wide open, and they're not creating any sort of indecision in the offense right now.
Steve, Kyle Duggar. Donnie put out a viral tweet that's like, this guy's got nothing going for him. He's old. He's hurt a lot. He can't cover anybody. He'll fit right in with these Steelers. Is that kind of your analysis of him as a player at this point?
Box safety type. You know, I've never really trusted him in coverage. He's athletic enough to maybe cover tight ends, but that's all. Like, you have to be really athletic. You have to be, even Derwin James, who I think was built in a lab to cover tight ends, still struggles to cover tight ends one-on-one. So Duggar theoretically might have that skill set. He's never been great as like a zone player. He's an in-the-box run-stopping safety type, which I know, you know, they might have a couple of.
Steve, if the Steelers,
for the record, Steve, you can't make the whole plane out of box run-stuffing safeties, even though I'm sure Mike Tomlin would love to do that.
Steve, if the Steelers...
Not in 2025, you cannot.
If the Steelers prove you and I prophetic and pull off this win, who will be the star of the game against the Colts on Sunday?
Oh, the star of the game. It's Boswell.
There you go.
It's 21, 21-19, 7 field goals. Right? There's one of these games every year, right?
I thought it was going to be Sunday night, to be honest with you. It looked that way for about 30 minutes.
It was on its way.
All right, Steve, great stuff, man. Thanks for giving us some love today. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
Limits. It's the segment that the entire country, the entire world, and perhaps the entire universe has waited for. The numbers game. Could you accompany us? That's what we need, big boy.
That's what we call a transition.
That's what we need, Donnie. It's a Donnie Football Friday. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And the 50-minute mark is coming up here. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Listen to this show, the Pomp and Joe Show, on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Donnie, do you have a number?
I do, Joe. 6. The Colts against the AFC this season. 6 wins, 0 losses.
Wow. I got a number for you. 33.8. That's points per game for the Colts, and that leads the NFL, and they're going up against a beleaguered. And I like that word because it describes the Steelers, a beleaguered and perhaps broken defense.
116, the point differential for Indianapolis.
Wow.
Plus 116, the best in football.
I got two numbers for you, Donnie. 37 and 392. That's Tyler Warren's catches and numbers. And both of those lead the NFL among tight ends. Of course, the Steelers have done so well against tight ends, it might not matter this week, Donnie. You got some numbers for me there?
They have been horrible against tight ends, Joe, as they were last week. I have a number, 79.3 yards per game allowed to tight ends. That is the highest number allowed to tight ends in football. By the way, on Tyler Warren, I think I've told you guys before, I did have a preseason bet on him to be the rookie of the year in the NFL. I feel pretty good about that. I'd say he's in the top three right about now.
I said on the day of the draft that Tyler Warren may have the best NFL career of any person drafted. That's how sure of a thing he was. And then again, the Bears. They go on, they take
the Bears didn't take him.
Oh, my God. They took a tight end, and it wasn't him. I don't care who it was.
I think the Jets should have drafted him.
I think anybody in the top... where did he go? What number 14th, in the draft? That's unbelievable for him. I mean, he is just a flat-out weapon. I got a number for you, Donnie. 30. The Colts are 30th in the NFL in third-down defense. You like that?
How about this, speaking of defense? I go with 4, as in week 4. The Steelers' last takeaway occurred in week 4. We are in week 9 now, Joe.
I'll match your 4 with another 4. Buckner along their defensive line leads the team in sacks with only 4 for your Colts.
6.1. Fourth quarter scoring on defense. That is the Steelers' defense 11.7 is the number, Joe.
Yes.
The Steelers scoring on defense in the fourth quarter. They've allowed, on average, 11.7 points. That is 32nd in the league. The Colts have allowed 6.1. They are right in the middle of the pack.
Well, that speaks to me to age on defense, that as games go on and maybe your offense isn't possessing the ball as much as you'd like, this defense wears down. I got a number for you. 1. I think Quentin Nelson might be the best guard in the whole league. And if he's not the best lineman, he's among a couple, but he's the number one guard in all of football. And that means somebody like Cam Hayward's going to have his hands full, and Keanu Benton and whoever else runs into him.
I feel like there were a few chuckles back when they drafted him. Not that they drafted a bad player or anything,
yeah,
but people said, you're drafting a guard in the top 10?
Yeah.
And the man has
been
the best at his position for a decade now. 7.7 is my number. That is the touchdown rate for Aaron Rodgers, which is the best in the league, 7.7%.
Wow. I got a number for you with the Colts. 19.3. I've made fun of their defense, but they are 6th in the NFL in scoring defense at 19.3 points a game. Yes, they've played Cam Ward twice and Geno Smith and Jacoby Brissett, So I don't know that I read too much into it, but they are six in the league in points against, Donnie.
10.6 is my number, and this is a DK Metcalf number. He leads all wide receivers with 10.6 yards after the catch.
I have a wide receiver number for you, Donnie, and I'm glad you mentioned that. It's the Colts against wide receivers, and the number is 50. They've allowed a league-high 50 catches to wide receivers for 554 yards. That's 31st in the league, and that comes courtesy of Steelers.com and our friend Matt Williamson, and a lot of these numbers do.
Three, the amount of plays the Steelers ran in the red zone last Sunday night.
Wow.
Three.
Not the upper red zone, like Aaron Rodgers said, but the real one. What did you say about DK Metcalf of 2 minutes ago? I don't want to repeat your number, Donnie. I would hate to do that.
He leads all wideouts with 10.6 yards after the catch.
I like that number. I don't like this one, and I have a feeling he might not like this one. 3.9. DK Metcalf is averaging 3.9 catches per game, the fewest since his rookie season.
But he is, Joe, and my number here is 6. He's one of 6 wide receivers this season that has at least 450 yards and 5 or more touchdowns. So he's at least still scoring.
Yeah,
not
for
necessarily
sure.
The big-time yardage numbers.
Very efficient. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Cloudy today and a high of Nick Herbig, 51, a low of 41, Peyton Wilson. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for legal solutions. All right, Donnie, affordable legal solutions, I might add. Let's go into our two-minute drive with real quick ones. I got a number for you, 522, one of the greatest games I ever saw. Ben Roethlisberger against Oliver Luck way back when, I don't know, 14, maybe 16?
2014.
40 for 49 for 522 yards, 6 touchdowns, and no interceptions. That's all for Ben that day.
For my money, that's one of the best quarterback games in NFL history.
Well, the other guy was 26, not Oliver Luck, Andrew Luck, 26 of 45 for 400 yards and 3 TDs, and he wasn't even close to Ben.
65 is my number, Joe.
Yes.
Indianapolis leads the NFL in plays of 15-plus yards.
Ooh.
With 65.
That does not bode well. Not at all. I got a number for you, Donnie. 0. Good old Danny Dimes is 0-2 in his 2 games against the Steelers, and I got a steak dinner on the line for you and Limits right now, right here.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Danny Dimes played against the Steelers on September 14th, 2020. The Steelers win the game 26-16. Benny Snell football had the game of his life, 19 carries for 113 yards. The Steelers scored 3 offensive touchdowns in that game. Can you name all 3 touchdown scorers? If you can, you two are going out to a steak dinner at a place of your choice, courtesy of the Savvy Old News Hound.
Okay, Limits, I know one of them at least is James Washington.
That is correct, Donnie.
Because he had like a pretty badass, like he like ran over a defender getting into the end zone.
That
good
is
job,
correct.
Donnie.
That is correct. Give me the other 2 and we're headed off for some steak,
we're going to think about who was the wide receiver core
dessert too.
On that team. Washington, was that
Juju?
Juju
was still there.
Still there.
Vance McDonald would have been the tight end still, I believe.
That wouldn't have been a year that
Deontay Johnson was there.
I can
correct?
Taste that steak already. Maybe a little blueberry crumble for dessert.
Was there a running back that might have caught one out of the backfield?
There might have been, yes, Donnie. I mean, Limits. Give me the 2 guys. You each get a guess. Or maybe it was one guy who scored twice. I don't know.
I'll let you take the next guess here,
Limits. I think Deontay Johnson had one that game.
Wrong, and you guys lose. It was James Washington and Juju with 2 touchdowns.
Man.
Couldn't you taste that steak for a moment there, Limits?
No, because I always find a way to blow it in trivia.
I had a feeling Juju got one. I didn't hate the guess of Deontay because I really didn't know who had the other one. I forgot Juju had 2.
Nope,
that wasn't the year that Deontay had no touchdowns, though.
Listen, Deontay was targeted 10 times in that game. It was a good guess, a very good guess.
That was Ben's first game back from injury.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Donnie, give me one more number if you'd be so kind.
I will do that for you, Joe, and I will say the number is 450. The Steelers' defense has allowed over 450 yards of offense in back-to-back games for only the 2nd time in franchise history.
Oh, my God. Is that a... that I don't even have to ask you limits. That's the number of the day. Let's give that man a hand. Donnie, where'd you get that?
That's from our guy. No, it's from our guy. Matt the Machine Williamson.
Wow, is that... Can you repeat that just for the people at the balcony?
The Steelers defense has allowed over 450 yards of offense in back-to-back games for only the second time in franchise history.
Did he happen to say when the first was? Because I'd be awfully curious.
He did not put in when the first one was.
Wow. That's fantastic. Donnie, that was fun.
Penguins. They're rolling over everyone right now, for the most part. 8-2-2. Winners last night, 4-1. Ben Kindle, who played his 10th game, yeah, baby, they made the right decision there, are the best team in the East right now. They're the best team in all of hockey right now, actually, as I look at the standings, with 18 points. Jason, is this sustainable?
Not best team in hockey, but are they going to be better than everybody expected? Yes.
Are they going to be better than everyone expected to the tune of making the playoffs?
Yes, I think this group can make the playoffs. Absolutely. Right now, Adam, I mean, again, if we're looking at what they're getting right now, I don't think this is going to continue. 8-2-2, I believe, is their record. It's very good. What they're getting right now is goaltending. Early on, we were talking about this off air. They did not play very well in the first period. Tristan Jarry was excellent. If they're going to get goaltending, if they're going to get something they haven't had in a couple years, the opportunity to have some saves made when your team isn't at its best, that's a different discussion here, man. The power play's been good. Last night, the PK was 4-for-4. They're getting production up and down their lineup. Ben Kindle, I love the kid. I'm so glad they're keeping him. He's added some depth to their lineup. They've been able to weather an injury to Rickard Rakell. He's up there playing with cities on the top power play. They're getting offense from different places. I mean, not only, I like the way they're playing. Better defensive structure, better in their own zone, better on breakouts, better when pinching, more responsible, all that stuff. But man, they're putting the puck in the net. They're scoring goals. Like, I really like Dan Muse, man. I really like what he's brought. It's very clear to me that they respect him. It's very clear that a change should have been made before it was. But yeah, man, I'm not seeing anything to say it's not sustainable based on getting goaltending and some of the timely scoring. It's not going to take a lot to sustain some of this stuff.
We talked about it off the air a little bit earlier, Jason, that I know I was not a big fan of the D-zone coverage with Mike Sullivan, the puck side overload, and it always seemed like they were scrambling in their own end. Man, they are playing a tight box around the net more often than not. They've got bodies in the right spots, and I don't think they're an overly physical hockey club, but there's a little bit more jam to their defense core, and that's made a world of difference. I don't know that Tristan Jarry is going to finish the season with a .923 save percentage. I would guess probably not. Artur Shelov, he's got a .919 save percentage. I'm going to guess that's not going to remain that high. But last season, on the aggregate, their goaltenders had an .891 save percentage. Ugh. If you're somewhere in the middle and you're going to score goals because you've actually got some depth and youthful legs in this lineup, I think you can be in the playoff race for the remainder of the season. It's a lot easier to play goaltender. Shocking opinion about to come out of my mouth. When you're not dealing with 15 damn odd man rushes a game. I always thought one of my biggest criticisms of Mike Sullivan's clubs these last few years are they seemingly played the same way regardless of how much time was left in the game and what the score was. This team doesn't do it. And I happen to think, Jason, that the third period last night might have been their finest of the season for them. They know who's on the ice. They know what the score is. They know how much time is left in the game. Those are things that every team in the sport should know. Penguins hadn't played like it the last few years.
Talked about a lack of adjustments with the Steelers, Adam. There was a lack of adjustments with the Penguins. And I know I'm not breaking any news to anybody. Mike Sullivan's a really good hockey coach. Taking nothing away from Mike Sullivan. But his style is almost like, we're going to play our style of hockey. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what, like, this is us. You know, when Dan Muse doesn't have that sort of ego. And I use the word ego, but I think it's good when you know what you're doing. And almost as a compliment to Sullivan. But it was not what this team needed. You needed somebody to come in here and say, no. We're going to play a little bit different. It's not going to be this style of hockey that we're not unaware of what we are. Dan Muse is very aware of what he has. Why are you, I mean, tightly packed, power with numbers. That's what the Penguins can do, responsible in their own end. A defensive strategy that is, you can actually execute it, and then all of a sudden, like you're talking about, you're helping your goaltenders navigate a much easier game. They don't have to be spectacular. They just have to be okay. And you're not giving up a bunch of odd man rushes. You're getting veteran players to buy into this system. Then, all of a sudden, they're getting the best out of Evgeny Malkin, out of Erik Karlsson. Chris Letang's been a little shaky. I actually don't have as many questions about Chris Letang as I think some people do. I think he's going to be just fine. But, I mean, they are playing a style of hockey that, again, you can continue playing. Not at this level. I mean, they're punching above their weight right now. But enough to get into the playoffs? Yeah, I think so.
We see it every year in the NHL that there's a new coach that comes in, they implement their system, and they play better than the talent level. We used to see it every other year for John Tortorella. He'd wear his welcome out real quick, but he'd come in that first year and the team would play above expectations. We saw it last year in Washington. Penguins are showing it right now. Sometimes it just takes another voice. Steelers. Cough, cough. And look, the thing that everyone always talks about with Tomlin happened with Sullivan. If Tomlin gets let go, he'll get a job in 10 seconds. Okay.
Yep.
It happened with Sullivan.
So what?
And the Rangers haven't been very good, and I think they might turn it around because I do happen to believe in Mike Sullivan. But a lot of the same problems the Penguins have had the last 3 years have reared their ugly heads with the New York Rangers. Even if Tomlin went someplace else upon being let go, if that were ever to happen, and he had success, okay. It just, it wasn't working here anymore. And in the NHL in particular, Jason, coaches turnover. They turn over more than in any other sport.
Yep.
And I think it's because the shelf life just ain't as long.
Yeah, and guys just tune them out.
Yes.
And you see what becomes of a team that's not listening to or respecting its coach. We saw it in 14-15 with Mike Johnston. They didn't respect Mike Johnston.
No.
And the Penguins were a bag of nothing because of it. Mike Sullivan comes in. They respected Mike Sullivan. And they had the horses to play the way Mike Sullivan wanted them to. Then you have something special. Now, you end up on the other side of that when you no longer have the horses to play that way and you're not willing to change.
Right.
And then you see the other side, you kind of go back to where you started. But you've got somebody who gets players' respect because you're explaining, this is why we're doing it. This is why it's going to help us. Players are seeing the proof in the pudding right now. And all of a sudden, Dan Muse, I mean, if you're on that Penguins team and you're not listening to him, which I don't think is the case for anybody, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. I also liked, between overtime and the shootout, the pushback from the Penguins.
They've had that all season, too.
They have.
Bad period, bad break, something.
And I'm talking about the physicality element. Like the
what is he doing?
Harry?
He's just bobbing his head back.
I'm nodding in affirmation.
Thank you. I think when the Penguins play the Flyers again, I think Zegras is going to get a taste of his own medicine. And I don't think that would have happened under Sullivan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Go to our YouTube page right now.
What if I'm in the studio and I don't want to see it? Whose theme song is this, Pony? It's not Val Venus. No way.
No. Pony said it was Val Venus. This sounds old Sexual Chocolate.
It does sound
Mark
like
Mark Henry.
Do you have a flu shot, too?
I did, actually.
You got a Band-Aid falling off your arm.
I had to get a physical today, guys.
No way.
I did.
What did your doctor say?
He almost got the cord stuck on the piercing.
My headphones almost got stuck on my nipples.
I thought, by the way, just for the record.
I went to get my physical, and I brought it up to her. My pierced nipples. I said, this is going to get awkward. And she said, believe me, I've heard a lot of awkward stuff in here.
Yeah.
As a doctor. And I said, I got my nipples pierced last night.
Mm.
Next words out of her mouth, no joke. She goes, oh, my ex-husband had his nipples pierced. And he's a cop. Yeah. First time I've met with this doctor. Very nice. Works downstairs, the building here.
Oh, you get your physicals right here. Talk about one-stop shopping.
Yeah. So.
I got to be honest, Don. I thought stopped working with Joe that my days of having somebody just take off their shirt mid-segment were over. Joe would routinely celebrate his rare quiz show wins by taking off his shirt.
Yep.
How do they feel?
Still a dull pain. It feels like someone is very delicately squeezing my nipples.
I mean, most people would say you have to pay extra for that.
Yeah. So
I can't.
Not all bad.
I can't really look at you right now and take you that seriously. How do Stella and Amanda feel about this?
Stella's already over it. She said, I don't like those.
How long, next question, do you plan on leaving them in?
I think I'm taking them out tomorrow before trick-or-treating.
Smart. Do you feel like ultimately this was, as far as the pain and whatever, better or worse than you thought?
No, the pain sucked. Donnie, you can tell people about this. He was the low-key MVP
the
night.
Because you didn't make a sound. You had the hat over your face. You didn't make a sound. You didn't grimace. But I heard later that if your hands were Caulfield size, Donnie would be in the hospital and have a big bulb cast.
Because
that's how
I processed the pain.
I needed
to squeeze Donnie's hand to grin and bear it. And so under my hat, I was just going.
But I didn't hear a peep, and I was right there.
Well, she couldn't. Kate, who pierced me, couldn't hear a peep either because she's like, all right, inhale, take a deep breath, and then let it out. And I'm like, okay, when? And before I know, just went right in before I had a chance to brace myself for it, which maybe she did on purpose.
I mean, she was an artiste, though. She was a surgeon with that.
She did
she nailed it.
She was great.
Yeah, she was awesome.
And then
awesome.
She gave you tons of credit. She said you were a 10 of 10, as a piercing subject.
And her assistant had a Prince Albert.
Is that confirmed?
Yeah, he told me that. Yep. I've learned a lot about piercings.
I mean, at that point, I think you just compulsively like to have piercings if you've got a Prince Albert.
Yeah. So it was a great night last night. We raised $12,000, which is still pretty surreal.
I do want to just give you sincere credit. It's been played for laughs. I got somebody proving via Instagram direct message. They messaged Barstool Big Cat and asked him for an opinion on it.
What'd he say? Anything?
He said, looks obviously happy that he got it done.
Of course.
Hold on. Let me make sure I'm representing this correctly. But while I'm digging this up from my messages.
I made TMZ.
This was Jake. Can we get a comment on a local legend getting his nips pierced? And it was just the picture of the three of us with you in the middle. Barstool Big Cat, happiest guy in the world, is what he wrote, which, I mean, very funny.
I was beaming in more ways than one. I would agree with that last night.
You had your headlights on. There's no question.
Was there a certain type of rush when you finished it? Like, I know you made that whole announcement to the crowd.
What a rush! There was.
You sat up like The Undertaker, Michael Myers.
That was something we have been told by, like, numerous people. They were like, he literally just did The Undertaker's zombie sit-up. You sat up so calmly, like you were Mr. Badass, turned and faced an adoring public.
Yeah. No, it... I did have a rush because it's like, I just... did it, and so many people
said you would
told me that I would back out and chicken out and buy my way out of it and weasel my way out of it.
So it's like getting a prediction right, in a sense, that kind of rush.
I'm putting it in your face. No, I think even better than that. But in the end, getting the prediction wrong was actually the best thing in the world.
$12,000, man. Legitimate shout out to you for following up on this. And now you've got this now mushrooming out into hopefully doing even more. Did you hear what Bostic said to Crowley this morning?
That Bostic is going to have Crowley do a prostate exam on the air?
That he is going to pay off both the pit bet, where he was supposed to wear a pit shirt, that he's going to pay off that and the leopard thong bet by wearing a pit thong, walking across the bridge, going into a blue medical tent, and then during Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, which is September, so he's got, as Crowley put it, I have time to get jacked up. I look good.
You hear that,
guy? All right, Crowley.
Crowley
body,
jacked up.
Yeah, body by Guinness and shame.
He looks like the Spoon or Forky character from Toy Story. You know the guy I'm talking about?
He looks like one of the characters from like a Tim Burton Nightmare on Elm Street, like how they're all skinny and angular.
Nightmare on Christmas.
Yeah, Alex Nightmare loves Before those, Christmas. But
is that a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie?
I think it's kind of both. I think it's a Christmas movie. But anyway, he wants him to get a prostate exam for prostate awareness, obviously cancer awareness, which if Crowley actually does this, I'd give him credit because he'd be combining three bets at once.
If the idea here now is that people want to one-up me and the money from it goes to a great place, I'm all for it.
So am I.
I do want to segue from how great last night was, and if people want to call in about it, they can, 412-928-9370.
Met a lot of big fans of the show, which is always cool, too. I would kind of expect nothing less.
I did think the picture that I sent out of me with my nipples pierced and it going to TMZ and all these places, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the picture of a leering Tony and Butler in the background of the picture.
Pompiani mentioned that on the sports call.
I think makes the picture great.
Pompiani mentioned that on the sports call. He goes, we've got people tweeting it, like Ryan tweeting in saying, how has nobody mentioned the guy in the background looking like he's having the time of his life?
And a little bit creepy, but...
I was like, I think that's our guy Tony and Butler.
It is.
Jameson on the YouTube comments, these are getting a little harsh. People are being very complimentary of you doing this.
Yeah.
Jameson, I thought Pony worked out.
Wow. Okay.
Leslie.
Good, and just more motivation. Give me more chips to put on my shoulder.
Maybe Leslie is really hitting you with one here, and Leslie is a stalwart of the chat.
Yeah.
I want Pony to put his shirt back on.
Jeez. Well, I'll do it for next segment.
Wait a minute. Isn't that the one that loves Austin?
No, that's Desiree.
Okay. Sorry.
No,
sorry.
Yeah. Austin's got...
Well, I
was going to say, if she's taking shots at Pony for not working out, I got some bad news.
I'm going to be very fair here to Leslie and say I also want him to put his shirt back on. I know he's doing that in about 6 minutes, and it's going to be the longest 6 minutes since I had to try to run a mile in that time frame. It feels like it's just every second is passing in
is
like halftime.
Is it that bad? I mean, it's not like my schlong's out. It's just a guy with his shirt off. If you went to a beach or a pool, you would see several people who I'm guessing are not in the kind of physical shape that I'm in. I'm not saying I'm a specimen by any means.
You know what?
But
that's
you
a
go
good, did
to...
Did we have the YouTube feed when Big Ed Vega came in?
Yeah. Oh, no, we didn't.
We didn't have the YouTube feed, but I mean, Big Ed is a big guy.
Who wears overalls with no undershirt.
You weren't lifting back then. I wasn't lifting. There was not a lot of muscle definition. And
we
nobody,
put overalls on yeah, with Ed in an act of camaraderie that day. But yeah,
did.
I mean, Donnie was down in Naples. You weren't seeing old men down there with their shirts off and man boobs hanging out? It's got to be worse than this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the average age down there is like 78.
Did you see anybody wearing the classic look of like very hairy fat guy wearing a gigantic medallion? Looks like he just bakes in butter
and
all day.
Speedo. Speedos are big for certain old people. Europeans love Speedos.
I surprisingly did not catch one of those.
But it looks like one of those.
It's common there.
Party, you know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right? The guy who looks like he was kind of in the mob in an earlier life, that kind of deal.
Well, here's a segue from last night to today.
Okay.
And it's in the spirit of last night. Because I have another prediction to make right now.
Okay.
And I'm not going to bet anything on it.
Smart.
The Steelers are going to beat the Colts on Sunday. The Steelers are going to end this two-game losing streak and beat the NFL's best team through the first 8 weeks of the season and temporarily right the ship. I feel very good about that. Two things right now have pushed me in that direction. Number one, I like the change in player attitude. You had Freiermuth with us last night. I like the way he was talking about the importance of this game off the air to us. No cameras on, no microphones. Him just giving his
he was very true, serious about it.
Transparent, honest feelings.
He was very serious
that
about it.
That was backed up in practice by Hayward and Watt practicing yesterday. They always get veteran Wednesdays off. They're treating this game like it's almost their Super Bowl. They know they've been criticized and cut to ribbons and called out and ridiculed and demeaned and all those things, and rightfully so. So I think they're going to have a spirited effort. Not great. I don't think they're going to shut out the Colts or anything, but I don't think the Colts are going to come in here and score 40 on them. Okay. The other thing that is absolutely true about the Colts, it's Halloween tomorrow. This game's going to get played the first weekend, first Sunday in November. This will legitimately be their first road game all year. They've played five games at home. Here are their three road games. Rams, sterile environment, L.A. Chargers, sterile environment, L.A. Titans, team stinks, nobody cares.
You could probably just say sterile environment again.
Right. So this is going to be the first time, and it's not going to be like Green Bay where their fans infiltrated Pittsburgh because it was a bucket list thing to do. Now, I think the crowd could turn on the Steelers.
I was going to say,
I think a home crowd could turn into a road environment if people get, you know, they'll look for a reason to get mad. Mm-hmm. But the Colts have not played. Everything has been neutral. Everything's been perfect. Now they're coming into a place where even Aaron Rodgers is saying yesterday, the field is what it is. It's still not that good. I kind of want to see how they respond to that. They've got a little bit of the greatest show on turf feel to me right now, which is obviously one of the great teams in NFL history. But let's make them mutters here on Sunday. Let's put them on a slow track and see what they look like.
So maybe they've only played on a grass track in Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I think
they did put 41 on Tennessee, if I'm being fair here.
But it's Tennessee. I just think there's reason to think the Steelers will show up in this game and play well.
Well, I try when
I'm not, picking them,
like,
man.
I'm not stunned to hear you say that. I'm not. Because I just kind of had a gut feeling you were going to be leaning that way on this.
Why is that?
Because I think you subscribe to the theory that when the NFL
God
looks,
bless you.
It was just a cough. It was coughing in my
There's
throat.
A cough button so that doesn't go out over the air.
We had a listener, by the way, message me and said, Pony looks better with his shirt off than I expected. I said it to my wife last night. Now, that's some pillow talk right there. Hey, honey, are you in the mood?
What if it was ... in bed?
Hey, honey, are you in the mood? I am now that I saw a Pony with his shirt off. No, I just think you tend to subscribe, and I know you go deep on the stats and you watch so much football. I mean, we all do, but I do think you tend to subscribe to the theory that the NFL is an unpredictable league in the sense that just when you think a team is obviously dead, like the Steelers look defensively, and a team is obviously thriving, like the Colts are clearly on offense, they're the best offense in the league and near the top of every individual statistical category, that's when a game turns. And you would actually probably say, based on how bad the Steelers have looked on defense and how good the Colts have looked on offense, that the number, even in Pittsburgh, should be higher than 3. Which is what it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
The only numbers that I can come up with, though, that like support the idea that this would happen are the fact that the Colts have been pretty fortunate as far as protecting the football. They've only turned the ball over, period, in 2 separate games this year. 3 times against the Rams, they lost.
Yeah.
And once in a pretty close game against the Cardinals.
Horrible interception by Jones and an unforgivable fumble by the guy when he was scoring a touchdown.
They have A.D. Mitchell. They have forced a turnover in every single game this year.
And Aaron Rodgers doesn't just give it away.
He's thrown
give
a couple.
Give it away now.
He's thrown a couple of yackers. But the Steelers also haven't forced one in a couple games, and I do get the sense that you and maybe other people might feel like some of those stats are going to regress to the mean or even out. Having said that, very quickly before we toss it to Donnie, on paper I can't get there, man, because this team just looks like it's built to beat the absolute tar out of people, and then when those teams try to stop themselves from getting physically dominated, they just have something good cooked up with Jones.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.